This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling. I'm Gabe Neitzel from ESPN Milwaukee, along with Brian Rowitz from ESPN West Palm, Jonathan Hood from ESPN 1000 in Chicago. Also catch him Sundays, a part of the Pro Wrestling Nation crew, Sirius XM. You can catch him 9 to noon Eastern time on Sirius XM.
Come on, Brian. Come on.
There we go.
Damn it.
36M, Pro Wrestling Nation. Got to get the bottom third. But we are here. We are at the greatest week of the year. The Royal Rumble is coming up. We are going to be live Saturday at Potawatomi Casino Hotel right here in Milwaukee doing a watch party. A lot of cool things happening. Hopefully you bought a ticket. If you did not, it sold out very quickly. So we're excited about that. But hey, if you're not going to be there, we're going to have a lot of content going on as well. We're going to be talking before the Rumble with Big Sexy Kevin Nash. He is going to be there, going to have some live reaction during both the women's and men's Rumbles, plus a post-reaction show. So I am excited because we've got this huge thing built around the Royal Rumble. We're all going to be together in the same spot. Why we decided to do it in Milwaukee when it's 2 degrees outside is beyond me when Brian lives in Florida, but I digress. The question becomes...
Today. I had to wear a sweater. It was like 60 this morning.
I hope you have more than a sweater to pack, pal. That's...
Yeah, I know. I need to get on that.
God. Yeah, put my fries in the bag, you and your sweater. You and your sweater. Let me tell you, we are excited. We are excited. Our first big event. And it's really around Gabe's favorite wrestling event, Royal Rumble. This is what makes it even more special. The Royal Rumble. It's in Saudi, warmer. But here in Milwaukee, when we're there Saturday, it's going to be hot at the Potawatomi Casino.
Yeah.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. Should be great. So let's start there. Who wins the men's Royal Rumble?
I hear that Brock Lesnar will be there via a phone call on the Pat McAfee show.
But this not like a radio phone call, like on McAfee's cell phone on
Correct.
The show. Right.
Correct. Did a FaceTime to McAfee, which, again, I'm like, good on them. I don't know if it was a bit. I don't know if Brock was supposed to do that.
Are you going to tell him to call the hotline? Like, who's going to tell him otherwise?
There's been a lot of things happening on ESPN television that's not supposed to happen regarding this Royal Rumble, as you know. Mm-hmm. Some secrets being leaked out of this thing, like... Okay, I mean, just can you just line up like a bunch of men and women and just tell us what's happening at the Rumble? Leak here, column there, cell phone there. Just if this is why this has been the weakest for someone who loves the Royal Rumble game, this has been the weakest build in the history of the Royal Rumble. I mean, my God,
it's been a weak, and yet somehow on the men's side, it's filled. Like for the first time ever, somebody wanted to declare. Finn wanted to declare and had to be told, "Sorry, man, it's full." Like I don't know what to tell you. We got our 30 guys. So that's somehow it's already full.
That's never happened before either. So I'm going to go with Brock Lesnar winning the Royal Rumble since we found out via cell phone that he's going to be there. Fine.
I mean, that does line up with them being creatively bankrupt and not having original ideas. So yeah, Brock would be the guy. I'm reluctant, but I go Bron Breakker. That seems to be the clearest path. I'm a little worried about that Raw main event, what that might have done for him. But I do think it's Breakker at this point.
I don't know. I feel like it's not. I feel like they have to go. Now, again, I feel like you have to factor in for this Rumble that they're doing it in Saudi Arabia. And this, of course, is the place where they've always brought back, you know, rumors already flying about next year's WrestleMania and how they're going to offer Rock the biggest payday for any individual ever for a single wrestling event. Because even more than us here, they are built on nostalgia as a fan base over there, right? It's where we got the Brothers of Destruction versus DX. It's where everybody was coming out of retirement because they were getting a payday. And I feel like you can't, even though Bron Breakker is, to me, up and coming. And I think, yeah, the main event, did it go smoothly against CM Punk? It did not. Mm-hmm. But I think he's still, if you wanted to put him in the main event and put him over and give him a championship at WrestleMania, I think he's ready. Especially with the support system around him within the Vision. But I just lean on, yeah, I think it's going to be, I wrote down Roman. I think it's going to be Roman because we're in Saudi. And because, again, when you're starting to pick who's going to win the Rumble, you've got to, okay, who are going to be in these championship matches? It seems by all signs that it's going to be Drew versus Cody. which I don't think you need to have Cody win the Rumble for the third time in 4 years if you want to talk about being creatively bankrupt. So he doesn't need that. You can build to that with Elimination Chamber, however you want. So then, okay, who does Punk face? That's where Bron Breakker makes sense. Mm-hmm. And I just can't imagine they're going to leave Roman Reigns out of the championship picture come WrestleMania time. So I think it's Punk versus Roman as the other men's title match. So I've got Roman.
Okay, so as you look at that list of those that's going to be at the Royal Rumble, Gabe, Brian, which one of those on the men's side that's a young talent should win the Royal Rumble? Ultimately, it's about veterans, but it's also about trying to build new stars. So look at that list or what they're trying to put out there. Is there a young star that you look at that list and say, yeah, that guy should have the opportunity? Because it sounds like the same old, same old. Now, for us talking about the Rumble in 2026 sounds like we're talking about the Rumble in 2010. Right.
Yes.
Seriously, with the same names, 2015.
Well, that's why I think, to your point, Gabe, they're almost protected by it being in Saudi. Roman wins that in Philly, in Chicago. He's booed out of the building. Everyone's pissed off. In Saudi, they're going to cheer who they're supposed to cheer. So that might actually work out for them in terms of that part.
What about what about the young stars? Anybody on the young stars? Nothing?
Bron. Last week. Yeah, Bron Breakker's a young star.
Bron Breakker's a young star. I mean, hell, if you really wanted to, because he's now in it, if you wanted to put Logan Paul over, like, I wouldn't bat an eye at that.
I agree. That's my sort of wild card, like, Vision at the end, they're running strong, and then Logan Paul wins it. You get the headlines that they love, which they would get a ton of clicks from that, and I think he's done enough to deserve that.
Oh, yeah, like, again, he's, as much flack as he sometimes gets, like, he's a full-time performer, he's there every week. He's doing his part, and we know he can deliver in the ring. Like, I don't know. Like, that to me screams somebody that if you wanted to go someone other than Brock, Roman, like, but still get a big reaction and have people in Saudi excited, I think Logan Paul would have to be on your short list. So, and then, again, you can do some, like, tension within the Vision. Yeah. Of Bron being pissed because he thought that should be his spot, all these things that I think you can do in the run-up to him taking on CM Punk.
17 names have been announced. Going through them in terms of guys that haven't won or haven't been there before. Dragon Lee and Penta.
No.
Solo. I mean, I guess he's been in the main event scene. Jacob Fatu.
Maybe.
Okay. The Vision guys. So Logan Paul, Bron, Bronson, Theory.
Two of those are question marks. Yep.
Okay. And then Javon Evans and Obafemi.
Obafemi is just the wildest of wild cards. You haven't even put him on the main roster on a regular basis yet. But here's the thing. See, that's for me, I like the idea of the Vision being able to have a little fracture in it. I didn't notice that on Monday night, by the way, even though Logan Paul said, you know who we should support? We should support this guy. We should support Bron Breakker. And I thought, well, is there going to be a side eye? No, it was fine. But I'd like to have a little story behind it if that's going to be the case. If there's problems with the Vision, let's take a look. Do we see it at the Rumble? Do we see it on Monday Night Raw afterwards? I don't know. But we haven't seen any cracks in the armor lately.
Right.
Yeah, and I think that's, again, it could be a fun way to go if you want to swerve and go with Logan Paul. Because, again, Logan Paul, like, is somebody who would fit in the main event picture perfectly fine, give you the main event appeal that you're a mainstream appeal that you're looking for. And also, like, even though he's got the mainstream appeal, it's not like a part-timer winning it.
Right.
Like, he's there every week. I got to imagine that it would go over with the boys in the back.
Yeah. He's committed to being there full time now.
I just feel also like, and I just happened to look this up. Philly was the example I used. Monday Night Raw will be in Philly this week after Saudi. Ooh.
Well, and again, that is the scene of the crime where Roman got the ever-loving hell boot out of him. Even then they tried to save him by bringing out The Rock, and that didn't even help when he won the Rumble. God, that was like a decade ago at this point.
So could they be scared off by that? Where it's like, hey, let's roll. Could you roll out the Rumble winner on Raw? Like, you tease who he's going to pick. Rolling out Roman in Philly might not go over too well.
Well, these are Bizarro fans, pal. I mean, this is the wildest crowd, you know, the Royal Rumble, WrestleMania crowd. No, pay no attention to the crazy crowd. Bizarro, they're internationals, they're Euros. No, the fans know what they want, Vince, because they try to mess with us and make it seem like the fans didn't know. No, we knew exactly. We knew exactly. We are effing up your creative. That's what we're doing, because it's bad.
Charlotte, North Carolina on SmackDown, would they be nicer?
Very much so.
Okay, so maybe they can save it for that.
Very much so. So Charlotte will be rolled out there, I'm sure. So she'll get a queen's welcome, rightfully so. But this whole thing, Gabe, your event, it's more and more as we talk about WWE, it feels like we're talking about UFC. The three of us.
Yeah.
We're talking about TKO business, where it's like, oh, it's bought and sold. We just give them anything, right? That's Dana White on this whole Zuffa boxing thing or how they do UFC. It's like, oh, it's sold out. We've got the people of Saudi Arabia building a stadium for us, like the Olympics, like every 4 years around.
It only took them 3 weeks to build the stadium.
A little bit too slow on the slave labor. Probably should be a little quicker. That's not good. Maybe too many sandwiches for him. I guess maybe that was the case.
I guess I'm rooting for someone like Braun. I'm rooting for someone like Logan Paul, because what I love about the Rumble is it. Is anything actually possible? No, but it feels like anything is possible, right? Like the memory when I thought that maybe, just maybe, they were going to put over Dean Ambrose over Hunter, right? When the title was on the line and eventually those are the last two, he throws him out and we get Triple H versus Roman at WrestleMania. But I think of Shinsuke Nakamura winning it and just thinking, oh my God, Shin versus AJ at Mania. Now it didn't deliver, but the feeling after he won, thinking about what those guys could do with their storied history in New Japan, like it felt like anything was possible. But now with the run of, I mean, last year, Jay winning was awesome. Yeah. It was great. And I know somebody didn't like it, but I thought it was great because you got down to the end and you're like, Jay's not going to win. And then he did. And it was great. And it was a surprising move to lose that momentum, to go back to somebody from the greatest hits list of Roman, Brock, and Cody would just be so disappointing. Because again, those three, if you want to put them in a main event at Mania, do it. You don't need them to win the Rumble. The credentials they all have speak for themselves. And when you have two nights of WrestleMania, you don't need the excuse of, well, we only, no, you put them wherever you want, man. Like they don't need to win the Rumble.
If it's not one of those three, is it crazy to say they're not main eventing Mania?
I can't see a Mania without him in that spot. Because
so, I mean, those three end up in the main event, but the actual Rumble winner does not.
Correct.
Well, that then Obafemi's with. Right. Then someone like that's winning.
Opening the show on Saturday night in Vegas.
Sure. I mean, look, one of those slots has to be Drew McIntyre against blank.
Cody.
Yes. I guess. A little lukewarm from Brian. I can tell. A little lukewarm. WWE's a little lukewarm.
Well, again, because we've seen Drew versus Cody 1,000 times already.
Yeah.
Now you finally put the championship on him, and you're not going to give him any separation from Cody. You're just going to give Cody the championship right back at WrestleMania.
Right.
Okay.
Unless they pull off the biggest surprise of all time and have Sammy win.
Sure. All right, put your hand down, Brian.
Don't you do that to me.
Sorry. Sorry, the train's left the station. Sorry.
He said it. I'm not believing it.
No. I'll float this out here now, but then I'll bring it up in Milwaukee when we talk to Big Sexy Kevin Nash. How about this? So Cody Rhodes is in the Rumble, and so is Jacob Fatu. And there's still that question mark about the whodunit. Who attacked Jacob Fatu? You know, what if McIntyre says, I never lie. Like, okay, cool. So what if it was Cody? And what if there's a scenario where they are back-to-back in the Rumble and they announce Jacob Fatu and he doesn't show up, but then afterwards it's Cody. He's the next number and he gets announced. Well, I don't know what happened to Jacob, but here comes Cody, where now you can tell that Cody attacked Fatu and now somewhat of a heel turn.
Yeah,
it's a little bit of a heel turn. Hard to say from Saturday Night's Main Event, but you can just tell there's an edge there with Cody Rhodes. Cody telling Jacob, see, this is why you're in prison. Who says things like that? Ric Flair?
not the baby face.
Interesting.
Not the baby face.
Interesting face-to-face there.
All right, let's go ahead and dive to the Women's Rumble. Who do we think wins over on the women's side? I think this one was a little bit more complicated, but I came up with my own fantasy booking of how I think this could end up working out. So I'm interested to see who you guys have on your short list of who could win the Women's Rumble.
I'll go out of left field. I'm going to go Bianca here. I feel like she's been out a long time for what I thought was just a finger injury. So her return and then fantasy book somehow her and Rhea in a Mania main event.
Oh, I was just going to book her with Bianca versus Jade. I thought you were just going to do that right away.
Okay, you could do that. Yeah, that there's story there.
Mm-hmm. Is there a short list that's out there right now? Or is it full?
It's, they're the same thing, 17 as well.
17 announced.
Yep.
Oh, that's a good one.
So we got Io, Rhea, Roxanne Perez, Liv Morgan, Raquel Rodriguez, Bailey, Lyra, Asuka, Chelsea Green, Jordan Grace, Charlotte, Alexa Bliss, Nia Jax, Lash Legend, Julia, Maxine Dupri, and Becky.
Raquel Rodriguez has never won it, correct? Clearly she hasn't.
No, yeah.
I think
but she has time. But she's got a championship match coming up on Monday Night Raw against Stephanie Vaquer. So she already has the champion. So again, because that championship match was announced, I think Liv Morgan wins, Raquel goes over, and we get the whole, oh, Liv's going to pick Jade. You know, she won the Rumble. She's not going to pick Raquel. And then she picks Raquel, and we start to see, finally, the Judgment Day finally begin to dissolve. Because I think, again, we started kind of teasing at that maybe with Finn, although he gets backed up. I know Dom's been injured, but it just... It feels like it's time for the Judgment Day, guys. I don't know about how you guys feel, but I feel we've reached the end of the road for the Judgment Day. I would love to see Finn go off on a singles run trying to go after that championship. Liv, you know, again, I think Roxanne Perez kind of getting her own singles run. Liv versus Raquel would be entertaining at WrestleMania. So I think that's my fantasy booking is Liv wins the Rumble, but then Raquel beats Vaquer in the Philadelphia street fight on Monday Night Raw.
You didn't say Jordan Grace, right? She not in there?
She is.
Oh, she is in there. Okay.
Yes.
Just trying to figure out who's going to go first. Just trying to find
for her. Yeah.
Yeah. Just seeing who's going to go first somewhere like her. You know, speaking of the Judgment Day, why can't the other lady in the Judgment Day win? We talked about Roxanne. Raquel. Yeah. What about Roxanne Perez? You mentioned the singles run and it's a little bit outside the box. I think that she's really wrestled well, and she's starting to stand out.
She has. I mean, I guess I just still, because she was just kind of like this add-on to the Judgment Day, I'd like to see her get a run with either the U.S. Women's or the Women's Intercontinental Championship first, give her a run there, and then continue to build her up. But as good as she's been in the ring, I just don't know how well she would stand on her own two feet going after a championship, because clearly Liv and Roxanne would clearly undercut her at every turn. Because again, that's just the way the Judgment Day would be. Mm-hmm. But you know, that storyline wise, they would and should, I would think, try to undercut her every step of the way.
I think I picked two heels, but I think in Saudi, I don't know if that really matters. They just love the action. They're always just wild for everything anyway. So when I go Brock and I go,
or do they does Trish Stratus win just because they're in Saudi? I'm assuming she could be one of the surprises.
Yeah.
She was just on the Stephanie McMahon podcast, so that very well could be. You know, just dropping people in. The big quote was, I keep meeting men that say that I was their first crush, and my response to them is, I was your first crush? I'm still not your crush now? It's a very good quote from Trish Stratus.
I mean, the other one is if, like, they do what they do on the men's side where they just play the hits. Is it the Charlotte? If it's a Becky, I don't think Bailey, but.
Bailey.
No, I think, and again, I think Bianca being a surprise would go over well.
Yeah.
Because then again, you could seamlessly book that a Jade Cargill versus Bianca match, and she's a big enough name. She's a returning name, gets the big pop, obviously has the bona fides to be in a championship match at WrestleMania. Like, that's a pretty easy one, I think, on the women's side.
Yeah.
And what is there anyone else that will be part of this that have not been announced?
Maybe some of the call-offs. Maybe even though isn't there an NXT house show this weekend for some
reason? There is.
In Saudi?
No,
because I thought I saw one. I think Ethan Page is confirmed for the house show. So, like, he's not going to be going over there. Yeah, Knoxville NXT Live Tour.
Coliseum.
Where is it?
Knoxville on January 29th. So, tonight.
Oh, Knoxville. Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, and then Nashville on Friday.
Yep.
And Birmingham on Saturday night.
Okay. So like the old Tennessee loop. Mm-hmm. The old Jerry Jarrett Tennessee loop. That's a good wrestling cities. Birmingham, but the other two pretty good. That's pretty good.
Why is that necessary on Rumble Day?
Well, why was it necessary for there to be an NXT house show when John Cena retired?
Yeah, that's it.
Could you explain that one? Could you explain why everyone was all hands should have been on deck for John Cena's retirement? Nope. I am toiling in Myrtle Beach. Why is that? So I mean,
because the people going to the show didn't want it, like wouldn't presumably the people who had eventually gone to that Myrtle Beach show wanted to watch Cena retire. Who could say for sure? All right, outside of the Rumble this week and the two champs that we just were picking, Brian, what else we got on the docket for tonight's show?
Two more matches announced for this weekend. Gunther versus AJ Styles. If AJ loses, his career is over. And Drew McIntyre defends the world title against Sami Zayn. More likely this weekend, AJ loses or Sami wins?
I mean, I think it's not even close. I think this is it for AJ.
They're making it kind of feels that.
It kind of feels, I mean... Now, they went really hard on Monday, right? Like, they went so hard on Monday, it makes you think, okay, all right, now you're protesting too much, right? Like, you're now we're really trying to tap in. But I just think that it makes sense. Like, and again, the Shinsuke Nakamura post that got out there, then deleted, that claimed that AJ had told him that he's going to retire at the Rumble. But again, it would make sense. It'd be 10 years. Debut at the Rumble in 2016, retire in 2026. But also, I think it's interesting that AJ keeps throwing out there that his time is done in WWE, which I think is interesting. And I don't know if you guys saw, but I saw a report today that he had filed trademarks on the phenomenal AJ Styles. And there was one other that he had thrown out there to try to trademark. So I'm curious to see what that means. If there's a TNA run, if he wants to go back to New Japan, have a couple matches there, I'm not sure. But it seems like they're also leaning into not necessarily retirement, but his time in WWE is done. And then 2026 is still the year of Styles, but he's just done in WWE and he wrestles elsewhere.
I guess what it comes down to me, what it comes down for me is that I don't want to see AJ Styles leave WWE. I know this is going to be his last year. I just think that the fanfare could be better for him to just be done before February 1st. Now, I understand that you look around the landscape and it makes sense if he's going to retire because you look around and you go, well, who else could he face? Right? He's taking on everybody. The Nakamura match was outstanding because it gives you those New Japan vibes. Taking on Gunther is going to be great again. But I guess, you know, that verbiage that I heard as well is like, I guess that he wants a shot at Frankie Kazarian in TNA. No, I don't think I want a front row seat for that necessarily. I don't think I've asked for that. But I guess my thought is that, you know, I don't want him to go and then go in Saudi Arabia. I really thought, and by the way, we understand that there's levels to this. John Cena, that whole retirement tour, never be beat. But I thought underneath here with AJ Styles, who was never a WWE guy, I kind of thought that there was an opportunity for him to be at the Georgia Dome or State Farm Center to be able to retire with his family there to see him. And I guess maybe that's not in the cards to retire. Maybe in the United States from WWE is something. I didn't see that coming.
That's the thing to your guys' point. Like, we talked about it last week and we said it's a low chance. Watching that knock match on Saturday, it's like, oh, this is it. This is a sort of, like, they gave him that match. Like, all right, go do what you got to do. Like, it's the last meal before you put the dog down. Like, all right, here you go. Here's the steak, and let's go from
and
there. Like,
that dog ate. That was the WrestleMania match I wanted. Damn it! That was the one I wanted. Point. It happened 8 years later. Nakamura's sitting back there and catering, and he can do that. Why we can't put him on TV more regularly? What are we doing?
All right, you didn't have to put it that way.
Well,
you could have had a different metaphor. It's a bad job by you.
It made sense.
I understand, but you didn't have to say put the dog down. You didn't have to put it that way. That's a little bit sick. You didn't have to do it that way. You son of a bitch, you.
Well, it feels like it's over on Saturday for AJ and WWE. Like, because I think also the Gunther story, he ends Goldberg, he ends Cena, and then he doesn't end AJ. Like, that's just weird storyline-wise. So I think that's it. Also, not getting my hopes up for Sammy. So, in comparing the two, I think that's it for AJ on Saturday.
I mean, I get the answer to the question. I just don't want to see AJ lose. But if I had a choice between one or the other, it'd be AJ Styles losing and then still wrestling in 2026. Yeah. But man, but I think the bigger point of this is that if AJ loses at the Rumble, man, so Gunther has to be in a high stratosphere in wrestling. I don't mean like in this era. I'm talking about all time. Mm-hmm. So you retired an old Goldberg. We were ready for him to go anyway, so fine. No problem there. You retire John Cena. WWE's marketing firm, their marketing arm is telling you that he's the greatest of all time. That's fine. He's not, but that's fine. I totally understand it. But then if you're going to do this AJ Styles too, that as soon as you retire Cena and put him to sleep, you do the same to AJ Styles. Dude, that we had to start talking about all-time greatness right there. And in that kind of booking, that's crazy.
I'll give you another one. He ends AJ Saturday, then he goes in the Rumble, eliminates Brock, and then he ends Brock at Mania.
I think that's, yeah, but okay.
I think that's where we're heading. Yeah. I think that's where we're heading.
So you're making, you understand you're making Gunther like one of the all-time greatest to ever do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's delivering.
That's something. And all this without a world title.
Right. And they tried that.
He's just a guy with a sickle. And just a whole black cloak and dagger out there just killing careers. He is the new Randy Orton. He's the legend killer. That's what he is right now.
He's the legitimate legend killer. And that's, I think, a great story to tell because now you're building up into this monster, and whoever slays the monster, hopefully it's not Cody, but whoever slays the monster will ultimately, like, that's going to be putting somebody over that mega heel after he maybe retires Jericho at SummerSlam too. Like, man, that is going to be unbelievable when a babyface finally goes over him.
Yeah,
Chris ain't gonna like that.
No,
he will not like. He will hate that creative. If you come in as like, hey, I'm here. So what do you need me to do? Well, we want you to stay a couple of months in. See that big guy right there? Yeah, you're gonna go to sleep. He goes, I just did that with Fandango.
That's what I'm saying. It's better than losing to Fandango.
I mean, I don't know if those chops agree. I don't think Jericho's chest would agree with that assessment.
Chris is a proud man. I don't know about that one. He's got to stay a while before we get. He goes, I'll do that, but I got to stick around for a while. Can I have a little fun before you just put me out to pasture?
So he can do SummerSlam. Brock could be ended at Mania.
That's what I'm saying. Jericho, like, he can SummerSlam. He can still August.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh no! How can he face those people, the Jericho Cruz? The Jericho Cruz, that can't happen. Oh my god! But this is a conversation. Let's get through the Rumble, see what happens with AJ Styles. But this is a conversation that the three of us have to have about where we're putting Gunther in our lifetime with these type of major spotlight wins.
Is there any chance, and I guess I can't say 0% because I gave Gunther 0% and then he actually went and won the three stages of hell. Is there any chance Sammy does win? Because it seems like we're all on the AJ loses thing. Is there any chance for Brian's boy, Sammy?
This is where it's supposed to happen. The answer is no, but this is where it's supposed to happen. Like, you've gone through Montreal, you're in Saudi, the people love him, but you hate to disappoint them, but that ain't happening there.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it's possible.
But you know why? You know why, Brian? Because the build before when he went through this was better than this one.
100%.
That's why.
But to use the Drew comparison, like, the build for Drew was great, and instead of winning the title, we got him singing American Pie, and then it took a year and a half to win the title. So, like, it's the same timeline for Sammy. That's just WWE creative.
Oh, it was more than a year and a half. That was like 2 or 3 years ago. That he was singing American Pie.
Sammy winning, to me, it just doesn't line up creatively after that. Like, him getting the Mania as champion, him losing, then winning an Elimination Chamber, then winning at Mania, I can get on board with that. This one, I don't know, it would feel almost empty. It would feel like, all right, we're giving the Saudi crowd something to cheer for.
Well, I mean, that's what they're there for, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think the Crown Prince wants? I think the Crown Prince wants Sammy to win.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. He's the one in charge.
He's the one cutting the checks.
Right.
Let's watch season 3 Unreal. See what the prince says.
I mean, I'm not going to complain. If Sami Zayn is world champion at the end of Saturday night, I'm not going to complain.
Well, because there's no way for him. like, again, I think him losing and getting another shot at Drew at Mania, especially because they've built up, oh, he's never beaten him. He's 0-11, and this would make it 0-12. Like, if he were to somehow fight his way back, I think that'd be entertaining. Sure. But there's no way in hell Cody's not fighting for a championship at WrestleMania.
Yeah, that does put you in a hole there.
I mean, unless they do, unless they swerve it, because again, like part of the reasoning that was given for both Cody and Drew for saying, hey, maybe it's time for Drew to go over here, is Cody wanted to be chasing a championship going into WrestleMania instead of being the champion. He felt being the champion was just being a little stale at that point going into Mania.
But I could make the case for just Cody versus Fatu. Like, if they keep,
I know, yo, off, yes, absolutely.
So you could do that, and that could occupy Cody. It's just then we're stuck with the world title. Like, Sami as champion, as a face champion going to Mania, there's no appeal there.
Cody against Fatu, where? At
Mania, no title involved. Just we finally get the match.
Singles match, Cody, yeah. Fatu.
Because you had the Saturday Night's main event blow off. You could throw him in the chamber. You could do something in the Rumble. Like, that'll finally be the one-on-one match.
Yeah, you could do, like, Hell in a Cell or something at Mania.
Sure.
Sure, no problem. You always need a first match on the card, so no problem there. On either night, you need a first match, don't you? Well, let Cody starts off a lot of these Saturday Night's main events, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, a number of them, I believe. So that's fine with me. I just wonder how Cody files feel about Cody not being the title picture and kind of being on a different level. But maybe that means that's going to be a fresh coat of paint on his life and his character.
Again, Stone Cold and The Rock weren't champion every year going into Mania or wrestling for the title every year. And they only had one night of Mania back then, right? Like, it was not always the way. Now, again, they wrestled three times at WrestleMania. One time it wasn't even for a championship. So, like, this thought that those, like, Roman and Cody constantly need to be around championships, don't need to have it. See if you can stand on your own without the championship. Let's see if you can do that for a while. Because the only one in WWE who's currently doing that is the guy we just mentioned, is Gunther.
But while you're doing that, build new. That's right. What I'm saying. Like, while you're doing that, I mean, I know they're bringing up kids from NXT. I get that. But I'm like, but Trick Williams and Obafemi and those guys, I mean, they're starting off at a lower level. All I'm saying is, while you don't have those guys that you mentioned in the spotlight, can we see new move up a little quicker up the card? I mean, you don't have to do it quite like AEW and just jump indie guys to the top of Dynamite or in your pay-per-view and then push them down when they lose. But there's a pecking order that you can move up young talent because your champions now, what's the combined age, Brian? Like, close the door. With CM Punk and Drew McIntyre?
Yeah, it's up there. It's 90.
There's a lot of hair dye with those two. A lot. Not saying anything about their wrestling ability, but you'd like to see the young guys get a chance.
87 is the combined age.
All right.
Drew is 40. Punk is 47.
Oh, God. I prayed for this.
All right. You mentioned AEW. Let's go ahead and dive into AEW because there was a pretty big surprise last night on AEW Dynamite. Tommaso Ciampa is All Elite. Got the graphic, got the announcement afterwards. He's going after the TNT Championship. What do we think Tommaso Ciampa can be in AEW?
In a great match on Collision and never heard from again. That's what it. Well, here's the thing. We just don't build anymore in wrestling. I mean, just to have the Obafemi, just to say Obafemi's coming is kind of new to this generation. We grew up with, someone's coming in 3 weeks. Someone's coming in a month. It was awesome, right? Like, oh, well, the anticipation, here they come, right? What's that going to look like? The Jericho on the board in Chicago when he finally went one-on-one with The Rock verbally because there was a buildup to it. Here's Ciampa coming out of nowhere. It surprised me. I'm in the kitchen. And I look around and I go, who's that? Is that Ciampa? I ran back into the room like, wait a minute. What is he doing here?
I said, I guess the music,
90 days to compete, I guess.
Well, because he just let his contract expire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The presentation was unbelievable. Like, to lights go out, Psycho Killer on the Jumbotron, and the music they gave him was a banger. Like, this was presented. But again, AEW is really good at this. These are the same things we were saying not this time, but the first time, not even that time, the first time that we saw Andrade in AEW, uh-huh. you know, like when he actually premiered in the first time in AEW, comes out with the mask, he's got the white suit, and you're going, holy shit, this guy looks like $1 million. Yeah. Can't believe WWE let this guy walk out the door. And then it really didn't go anywhere, right? So I'm cool with Ciampa going over and being the TNT champion right away.
Yep.
See what happens.
Like, Briscoe doesn't need it, actually.
No. And he's had a good, decent run with it. Like, for something that I never thought that a Briscoe would get, because the Briscoes were so toxic, you couldn't put them on television when AEW had first started. So for him to be able to be the TNT champ, give it to Ciampa. See what happens, man. Like, I'm curious, because they made him look awesome. But the problem with AEW at times is, okay, now follow that up. Continue to make him look awesome. He's got to win.
Right. I agree with that, because at least last night, it was just him coming out. It wasn't, hey, Ciampa's all elite and he's in this great match and we get a great match. Like, that was a little bit of an improvement, Hood. Like, we saw him come out before the 5-star match. So that's a win.
No, you're right. Like, okay, if he wins, then obviously he's got to stay on TV. Briscoe's he's one of those guys that never needs a championship. Correct. This is Tony Khan saying, hey, thank you for all the bumps. Mm-hmm. Thank you for everything that you've gone through. I know it's been a tough time. Take this back to your family of this championship. Right. Awesome. Awesome time for Briscoe. But with Ciampa, I got no problem with him winning, but if he loses, he will disappear. Yep. And if he does win, God help him with that locker room, with those sharks in the locker room. There's some old WWE guys that know Ciampa, but think about the 50 people in catering. They're like, really? This guy's more of a star than me? There's going to be a lot of that. I'm just telling you. That's not my opinion. That's just fact. Well, there's some connection there that I was able to find out, that there's a lot of guys that are at home or in catering like, can I get some TV time? And for Ciampa to jump the line, as I was told, that'd be something.
There's not a respect factor there. Like, he's not a, like, WWE-made guy. Like, there is the ROH run and, like, even the black and gold NXT era, which felt so different than WWE, like, that was Ciampa. Like, this isn't just a WWE guy coming in by name.
Give me that guy, by the way. Give me the NXT Ciampa that's out of his mind. Now, he's a little bit of a baby face there. He's going to probably be with Briscoe. But give me that guy that took on Johnny Wrestling that was a stone cold killer. Give me that guy.
I'm assuming that's what he's going for. If you're trademarking and going by Psycho Killer,
right.
I'm guessing we're going to get closer to that. The only problem, though, I guess, is so if he does win this match, now he's already at his ceiling. Like, his ceiling is the TNT Championship. Like, I can't imagine Ciampa inserting himself and being a realistic contender for the AEW World Title.
See, how did I start my sentence? I started this segment by saying we don't build guys anymore. We don't like that, but there'd be like 2 weeks because, oh my God, to reveal that Ciampa's coming, you want to have a build to be able to see Ciampa being in AEW, what that anticipation is going to be like, have a few matches and then go at it. I mean, as Brian always tells us, there's not going to be another show until March. What's the hurry? Why are you pushing it so fast? Right? But you got to put him out there. You got to put Andrade out there. No build. No video packages, nothing. Just put him out there. And by the way, we need the bump on Collision, so we're going to put him out there on Collision on Saturday. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, again, you could build that. Like, I don't mind the surprise debut, because there are very few people to me that can debut in AEW that the wrestling world in general knows, right? Like, we see a lot more people going from AEW to WWE, not necessarily the other way. And Ciampa, with his background in independence, NXT, ROH, all these things, like, I feel the AEW crowd recognizes him, so I'm fine with that. But I don't know if he needed to show up. Like, he could have just showed up to start off the show to cut a promo, right? Like, he didn't need to. So I liked the surprise debut, yes, but throwing him on Collision on Saturday night right away, that seems unnecessary, because it's an open challenge that he's been doing for the TNT title. Like, you can have Ciampa around, have him do a couple of squash matches, and then eventually set up him versus Briscoe. You don't even have to do it at the pay-per-view. Just do it in Australia, because you're building that thing up too.
That's what I'm saying. But Brian, we got to rush it out there. You got to put him on TV right away. Like, all good. And by the way, not shitting on the match. You know it's going to be a banger. It's Ciampa. It's two veterans. It's going to be great. But we just don't build like we used to.
Yeah, and I guess to your point, Gabe, about it being the ceiling for him, I think that's part of the issue with the AEW booking right now is the mid-card titles, to me, there isn't one that stands out. Where it's like, okay, well, he can win this title, but then he can go win that one next. Like, to me, they're all in the same playing field, which feels like an issue.
Well, that's what happens when you have six of them, Brian.
Right.
You know, like, instead of having, like, you could have two. And I know at one point their goal, they wanted to have the TNT title kind of elevated to the same height, right? So then, kind of like WWE, you have two, like, world championship titles.
Sure.
And it just never happened for the TNT title, which is fine. And I don't think they need two world championships in AEW. I don't think they need 17 mid-card titles. Right? Like, have the TNT, have the international, I guess, or just do two, the TNT, and pick whatever one, whether it's the national, the international, the continental, whatever one you want to pick. You got plenty to choose from, and then just kind of trim the fat with some of the other ones.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
I like Ricochet doing his own thing.
Right, yeah, he has a title.
He's trolling people on social media, light skin, Kingpin. I think that's what he's going by on social, and just, you know, going after made of real glass. Going after him, Mr.
Yeah,
Black.
Going after Jack Perry, which, again, like, that story would be fun. You don't need the national title involved there. See? That doesn't need to exist.
See? Too many titles, that means a lot of stories don't matter. See? One too many stories that don't matter. Yep.
All right, let's go ahead and move on to news and notes this week. Brian, what do we got?
All right, the man Becky Lynch talking to Billboard was asked who she'd want to wrestle if she could wrestle anybody from a different promotion and said, quote, "I'd probably wrestle Toni Storm. I always wanted to wrestle her. I was bummed when she left, and she's doing amazing work over there at AEW.
You know, it's so funny, guys, when it comes to Becky Lynch. There's certain wrestlers in WWE because of the WWE, quote-unquote, soft style that you say, boy, if they went to a different company, they'd just be in a blender, like The Miz, right? If Miz went to AEW, he'd get lost quickly, right? It's too quick for him.
Miz goes to New Japan. Uh-oh.
Could you imagine? Like the four moves of doom and just like all that preening and that facial thing. Like, that wouldn't work. But I think that Becky Lynch in AEW would work for me. Yep. Becky Lynch against Toni Storm, I don't think that Becky would miss a beat. There's something about her and a number of other WWE wrestlers that we could say is about 10 or 12. It's like, yeah, in any style, they can get it done. Becky's one of them.
Yeah, and not shocking that she would pick, one of the most over women on the planet. You know, that, oh, hey, Tony's doing some fun stuff. She's a great character. I'm a great character. I bet we could do something fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fellow four horsewoman Bailey was on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. A friend of show, Evan Cohen, asked her about John Cena's heel turn. She said, quote, "In the moment, it was good. When you look at the bigger picture, who knows if it was needed, but I was very excited when it happened."
She kind of speaks for all of us, right? That kind of feels how everybody felt. Like, everyone, oh my God, I can't believe they did it. Let's see. Oh, they didn't do anything with it. Do we really need to do that? I guess we didn't need to do that. But yeah, in the moment, it was cool.
This has become the new Undertaker streak shouldn't have been broken in New Orleans. Right. This is what it's become. Mm-hmm. This whole Cena thing has become, because that was the other topic before this, was like, Undertaker streak should have never been broken. Why you do that? And so now here we are with this. This is going to be asked for the next 10 years. John Cena, should he have retired that way? And I think a lot of the wrestlers will say no.
Quickly, speaking of Taker, I feel this fits in news and notes. Did you see he was complaining that he thinks they're revealing too much behind the curtain about the business, despite him having a podcast for WWE that lifts up the curtain and looks behind at the what's going on in the business? What are we doing, Taker? Come on, man. Have a little self-awareness.
Yes, that goes into the file of no shit, Taker. That's what it goes into. Yeah, you think so?
Yeah,
and by the way,
but also you're a part of the problem right now.
Yeah, if you're looking for Mark Calloway's balls, they're in his wife's purse on that podcast.
But hey, he's very involved in AAA now, so he's all over the place.
Yeah, he looks weird with the headset. But 6'9" and with a little Denny's headset, may I help you? I would just tell you that those good old boy road stories he had back in the day, can't do it with Michelle McCool there. It was a good podcast. We sit back and say, yeah, man, we had a six pack in the back and Harley drove, you see. And like, now with her there, So Harley drove, huh? And you drove drunk? Is that what you're saying? You drove drunk and you're smoking? What do you think you're doing, Mark? Like, so now those stories are gone. Now his balls are in a little purse. And so now it's just going to be a nice PG podcast. Thank you, Taker. Thank you so much.
Some free agency sort of news. It was about a week and a half ago, AEW announced that the Rascals were coming to All Elite Wrestling. We then found out a couple days later, Trey Miguel, part of the Rascals, would not be coming to AEW. Last Thursday, a week ago, he made his re-debut at TNA as part of the Feast or Fire ladder match sort of thing, reportedly due to some past homophobic comments that he has apologized for. Yep.
Yeah, due diligence. I'll take due diligence for 100, Alex. This is the problem in this company. Find out if you're bringing people in. It's not just about the five-star match. It's not about what they do in the ring. Find out the background. And so, well, you know, for this to happen, it's not a surprise.
If they're going to fit your company, your locker room, your culture. Like, you've got how many guys, and you just mentioned Hood, how many guys you got in the back that can do five-star matches? Do you really need to sign the Rascals? Like, in totality? Probably not.
No. And of course, you're just bringing them in. You're just waving them in like a third base coach. Just waving them in. No story. Just waving them in because you know they can go. We've said this a lot on the show, guys. It's an arms race. I get it. You don't want them to go to WWE. This is what it is because it's still a war between WWE and AEW as far as talent. But how about a little due diligence before you just let anyone in your company? Here's the thing. Anybody can make a mistake. Anybody can be able to have a second chance. I'm just saying that on the front end, on the doorstep, find out what's going on. So that way no one has cast aspersions about your company if you're Tony Khan.
Yeah, I mean, they ran into it with Jay Briscoe, where he was held off of TV because of these same exact comments. And Tony Khan's been up front like, hey, I fought for it. I tried. And Warner was like, no, like he's not going on our TV. So to announce you signed him and then be like, oh, well, actually, we didn't, like, just a weird, sloppy look.
All right, what did we have for matches of the week?
Well, you know, here's a question. Can we qualify Rhodes and Fatu as a match of the week?
It wasn't a match.
Bell never rang, so no.
Bell that's never rang. It was just, yeah. That was just a backstage brawl.
That thing... First of all, what a great way to be able to have a match without ringing the bell and have them go and not have a finish. That's the way you do it. You don't want to finish between Rhodes and Fatu, do it that way. And they were all over the building in Montreal. That was awesome.
I was surprised it went as long as it did. I just assumed that they want to have something else go a little bit long. So they're just cutting this thing short and, you know, doing a quick little thing. No, it went on for like as long as a first match would. It was great. Saturday night's main event was really good.
Yeah,
it was really good. I will say that.
Can we put AJ Styles in here twice for match of the week?
Yeah, if you want to. Yeah, I mean, because AJ versus Shin is obviously in here. That was everything I wanted it to be. Everything it could have possibly been. It was exactly what I was hoping for.
So we got that on Saturday, and then we got him versus Punk on Monday, which despite the WWE finish, was a hell of a match. And it's like, oh, yeah, AJ Styles, and you put him in the ring, good things happen.
Yeah, got a little taste of what that would look like. Again, AJ Styles and CM Punk.
Is that back-to-back weeks with Punk like putting together maybe his best matches in WWE, Finn, and then AJ?
Correct.
So to the point earlier, like one of my takeaways from Punk and Braun was like, oh man, like Punk isn't what he used to be. But then you see with that, so now I'm more concerned about Braun Breaker because like, oh, maybe it wasn't as much a Punk problem as it was a Braun Breaker problem.
Yes. Punk is turning into a tremendous WWE TV champion.
Right.
47 shouldn't be out there every week. Ask AEW fans what that was like to have
how that turned out.
I just remember him wrestling in Chicago, then drove to Milwaukee. He's there at the Panther Arena, and he takes the mic and goes, "Hey, you guys tired of me yet?" And Milwaukee's like, "No." Okay, ring the bell. Here I go again. It's like AJ Styles and Nakamura. My God, man. I want to sit down and watch Saturday Night's Main Event, and I got New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yeah.
That was not a WWE match. That was a New Japan Pro Wrestling match, which was just tremendous.
But made me sad at the same time because Shinsuke Nakamura is so damn good, and they just don't have a use for him. It's damn. He's so good. He's so good. Figure something out, man. Yeah, he can do stuff.
A note to Okada, that's how you do it.
Yeah. Okay?
That's how you do it. Like, when you try, that's what it looks like. So Swerve and Idolo on Dynamite.
Yep.
Closing it out last night with a surprise finish.
So how are we supposed to feel about Idolo? Like, okay, so WWE couldn't use him. It was kind of an Idolo match. You know what that is, right? It's the, there's Idolo spots in that match, and we kind of know what they are.
Yeah,
but, I mean, the guy has always been able to go. Yes, that that moonsault miss and then go back.
Right.
Yes, that's an Idolo spot. Yes. Yes. I mean, you know, running in with the knees a million miles an hour, the Roosh spot, which is the Idolo spot. Like, he is tremendous. But there's a disconnect there where he can't be at the top of the card. That, for him to be in the main event, and this is not on Collision, on Dynamite,
right,
was fantastic.
And now he's moving on. Like, Swerve is out of the title picture for the pay-per-view in March.
And it's him versus Kenny next week now, or whenever.
Shucks.
Yeah.
So disappointed. Then we get Kenny versus Andrade. Oh, man. Guess we got to watch that. All right, guys. I'll watch it. I'll report back. I'll let you know how it goes.
I mean, an absolute banger. Holy smokes.
Also, last night.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I think you might have the same thing because it's a women's match, but go ahead.
Tekla versus Stat?
Yes.
Yeah. So this is me on the headset, right? If I'm Tony Khan and I'm watching Tekla, give Statler the business.
Uh-huh.
The business. I'm chiming in right there to the referee. Tekla goes over. Tell him Tekla goes over right now. Seriously.
I'm watching that last night, and I feel like as a show, we have been harsh on Chris Statlander. Is that fair? Is that going too far? And I feel like we've come around a little bit. But as I'm watching that match, I'm going, wait, why am I supposed to like Statlander again? Like, why? Because I want the other. I want Tekla to go over right now. Like, this just give her the championship. She's charismatic as hell. She's cutting awesome promos in the back with the Triangle of Madness. Like, let's see what happens. You give Tekla the belt.
And then Stat's overshadowed by Willow. Where, like, title wise, it's supposed to be the other way around. Like, it's just weird booking.
Mid match, I'm telling the referee, switch the finish.
Which is funny because remember it was Stat that was once in that position. Like, what? Remember her and Mercedes, the match they had, the build, and everyone's like, they should have flipped that mid match. Like, Stat should have gotten the win there.
Tekla right now is the new Luna Vachon.
Wow.
Well, she is. Remember Luna?
Yeah.
And I know if you blinked, you missed her in those 3-minute matches during the Attitude Era. But I remember when she could go, and Tekla's evil. But she can really wrestle. And she had 70% of that match, 75% of that match. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you sure you want Stat to win? I don't think the fans in Austin wanted that. I think they were behind Tekla, and she's a heel. I might be wrong, but I would have changed the finish.
Got the vote from me because I'm just watching this going, wait, I thought we liked Statlander again, but I'm drawing blank as to why we liked her. Like, maybe it's time for Tekla.
Moose Alexander on TNA.
Oh, okay.
That was the first match, and all of a sudden, Cedric Alexander, turns on Moose at the end. Even though there was a babyface match, Alexander now is part of the system. So he's a heel along with another guy. So they've changed the system. So a little fresh coat of paint on that faction they have in TNA.
Cedric Alexander's a heel. I on my television last week for the Feast or Fired match, and then I found out that we wouldn't find out who was in the briefcase until the following week, which is tonight, which they accidentally spoiled last week for TNA Plus because they kept the audio up for some reason. But I put it on my TV, so there's that.
Ooh.
Yeah, that happened last week, apparently. They taped the following week, and they forgot to hit the off button or something.
One of my favorite parts about becoming an adult, like when you're a kid, like you think that these companies that have a bunch of money just have their shit together. And then as you get older, you're like, wait, nobody knows what they're doing. Everybody's making it up as they go.
You do understand this company is light years ahead of TNA. So, there's high school production in this company, okay, that is light years ahead of TNA. I mean, we could do live productions across the board in this company of Good Karma Brands.
Oh, yeah. Look.
Without a hitch. No problems. Zero. And if and by the way, if there is a problem, the fans won't know. It's right. It's internal, behind the scenes, and you're pulling your hair like, ah! But the fans don't know, right?
Yep.
And TNA, it's wide ass open.
Uh-huh. Like they got a lot of money behind them right now. They got a TV network behind them, Hood. And this is still happening.
I'm calling Craig right now to see if we can help them with their production.
I am not, again, I want to make this clear. I'm not rooting against TNA, right? Uh-huh. Like I want all wrestling to succeed. That makes the world of wrestling something I love better. But am I going to laugh at it when something like this happens? Absolutely, I'm going to.
I need that conference call with Craig Carmazon as much as a hobo needs a ham sandwich. I want him to say, so what we've done is we are collaborating with TNA. So that's what I want. I want
your company now.
I want Craig to be able to do we are taking over the production and the finances of TNA and all the company's better. What a surprise. Craig's taking it over.
Whew. All right. We got a lot of good stuff happening. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/@goodkarmawrestling. A lot of cool stuff that's going to be happening around the Royal Rumble Saturday at Potawatomi Casino Hotel. We're going to be live in person. Hope you're looking forward to it the way we are. We'll talk to you on Saturday here on GKW.